I'm pretty close to you guys here. I'll back away just slightly. Okay, if you guys are ready to go, again, like yesterday, for the afternoon session, I'm only going to talk for about half an hour, and then you guys can have some time of discussion. So if you guys can bear with me, you only have to hear me for half an hour. All right. How many of you guys were in the morning message? Okay, all of you guys. Were most of you guys able to follow it? Okay, it wasn't too over your head. The whole natural wisdom versus this hidden wisdom wasn't too complicated. Because when I heard that, I was a little bit confused at first, and I thought perhaps for those of you who are younger, they're a little bit confused. I'll give you an example I thought of. And so, the way we approach the Bible when we're young is to use our natural minds, right? We try to understand it, and we read the Word of God, and we try to understand it up here. And then, like our brother was sharing this morning, there's this wisdom from within that you discover later on, and then it opens up this whole spiritual realm, right? So this is an example I thought of to distinguish the two. All right. Now, when my wife and I first got married, my father-in-law, who's this really tall and imposing man, gave us this power drill. All right. And at the time, we were living in a really small apartment in San Francisco. And my father-in-law, who's very handy very good with his hands. He can build anything. In fact, my wife's family in Oregon, their house was built by my father-in-law. By his own hands, he built the entire... It's a beautiful log home in central Oregon. And he gave me this power drill. And I, of course, am the opposite. I have no clue how to build anything, right? And let alone the space to build anything. And now we live in a small apartment in Manhattan, and certainly there's no, workshop or anything I could use this power drill in. But... very recently, so this thing he gave us, and I stashed it away in our closet, and it sat there for like years and years and years. And recently, my wife and I bought some IKEA furniture. How many of you guys know what IKEA is? All right. So the IKEA furniture, as you know, comes packed in very small containers, right? But it's very compact, so you can carry it home with you. But once you get home, you have to assemble it yourself. All right, so I bought my girls a dresser, right? And it came all packaged nicely and tight, so it fit in our car. But then when we got home, I started screwing this thing together with just a regular screwdriver, right? And so I'm screwing away, and hours later, I'm still screwing away, and I'm getting frustrated because this thing is like, takes a lot of effort. Right? So then my wife goes and she pulls out this power screwdriver, all right, and this power drill, which has a, you can take the head off and put a screwdriver on it, all right. And then now she's helping me assemble it, and while I'm screwing this thing in, she's like, zzz, 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 and it's like going so fast, right? I've spent like hours putting like half of it together, and within the next 30 minutes, like she puts the rest of it together. And so that's what I think our natural wisdom is when we try to learn spiritual things. When we read the Bible with our natural wisdom, it's like that hand screwdriver. And you're like trying to understand, and it's frustrating you, and you're putting a lot of effort into it with very little result. Right? And then I think that inner wisdom, which in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is referred to as that hidden wisdom, that's like that power screwdriver. All right? Once you have that tool and learn how to use that wisdom, then, very quickly you can grasp spiritual things and you can understand them. So that was, as the brother this morning was sharing, I had that image in mind. I don't know why I thought of that power screwdriver that sat in our closet, but but it was something that came to mind. I don't know if it's the best analogy, but it's something to throw out there for you guys to think about. And so the Lord gives us these tools, and it's our job to put them to use. Okay. Our brother picked this hymn earlier, Who is on the Lord's Side? And I think it's very appropriate for what I'm going to share with you guys this afternoon in the remaining, now, 25 minutes. Okay. I wanted to share with you guys. So yesterday we shared on this matter of being a disciple for the Lord. So when we're called to serve, we're a disciple for the Lord. And today I'm going to share with you on how we are an ambassador. So part of that song poses a question, right? In fact, the title is a question: who is on the Lord's side? Okay, and it also asks, you know, who will go for the king? You know, who for him will go? Who will represent the king? And so I wanted us to consider this matter. So if you go to, so if you go down one, all right, one, yeah. So yesterday we talked about this, how a servant of God is a disciple, all right? Whoever serves me must follow me. Okay, the next one. And then how as a disciple we walk in his footsteps. So we have to be active. We can't be that paralytic anymore, right? He's already healed us. He's already redeemed us. We should no longer lie down and have our friends carry us around. We now have to walk. Okay, next one. And then we shared a little bit on disciple and discipline, how we come under the discipline of the Lord in order to grow, right? As children of God, we're disciplined by God so that we can become young men and women for the Lord, ones who can overcome the evil one for him. All right. And then the next one. So today we're going to share on this theme, how when we're called to serve, we represent the Lord. We represent the King, and we are ambassadors in this world. I think you guys are old enough to understand what an ambassador is. And so just remember our theme verse is still Matthew chapter 24, verse 45. That question that the Lord asks, who is the faithful and wise servant? Okay, and he's asking it to you guys during this time. All right, you guys are living in a very dark time. You know, we see a lot of sins in this world. We see a lot of evil in this world. It's a very violent place these days. And the Lord is looking for ones who will be faithful to him. So if you know the Lord, if he's called you by name, and you know that you're redeemed by his blood, you're called into service, and he's looking for faithful ones. All right? No matter what stage in life, we're called to serve. Like our brother Martin just mentioned, you know, as soon as you're saved, you're called into this holy priesthood, this royal priesthood. Okay? It's not once you're mature, then you serve. You serve in order to become mature, like how our brother put it. So as an ambassador, you know, as you know, ambassadors go to another nation, all right? They don't live in their home country. They go into another nation, and they represent their home country there, all right? So who do we represent? We represent our Almighty God in this world, all right? We represent him in this foreign and hostile land. And so naturally, we should be strangers and we should be aliens here in this world. So one passage in John chapter 12 and verse 49, if you guys want to, you can turn to it. Otherwise, you can just listen. John 12, 49 reads, "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all I have spoken." All right? He doesn't speak on his own. This is the Lord saying these words, okay? The Lord Jesus was our perfect example of what an ambassador ought to be, okay? He was a servant of God here in this world, and he represented the heavenly King, okay? And similarly, we represent the heavenly King, so we don't speak on our own, okay? We only speak what the King wants us to speak, all right? Not any more and not any less. We speak exactly what our Lord wants us to speak. Okay, and so to be a proper ambassador for the Lord, a proper representative We have to look like the person or the country we're representing. All right, I'm going to give you an example, and hopefully it'll be clear. My wife and I last year got to visit Kenya. I never thought I'd end up in Africa ever, but my wife had to go there for work, and she asked me if I wanted to go along with her. I was like, sure, you know, we'll go do a safari or something, and we did, and it was really neat. We got to see part of the Serengeti and part of the Maasai Mara. And when we were in Kenya, you know, the Lord prompted me with this idea of being an ambassador. And I was thinking about what if there's an ambassador from the nation of Kenya and he's living in the United States. And what made me think about that was before we went to Kenya, we had to go to the Kenyan embassy in New York City. All right, we had to go find the Kenyan embassy, and it was pretty easy to find because it sat right in the shadow of the UN. So the UN is on 42nd Street in New York City. We live on 63rd Street, so we took the cab down at 20 blocks and we found the Kenyan embassy. And I was thinking to myself, now if you're an ambassador from the nation of Kenya, you have to be Kenyan, right? It doesn't make sense for someone who's not Kenyan, even if you're representing Kenya in a place like the United States, all right? And so this is the example I want to give you. So if you go to the next slide, okay. So Elkanah Odembo is currently the ambassador of the Republic of Kenya to the U.S. Now, I've listed up a few people here. Some of you might recognize them, all right? And some of you might not recognize these people, okay? Now, if you were to guess which one of these people, whether it's the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth, yeah, which one is the representative to the nation of Kenya? All right. How many people think the first? Second? All right. Yeah, the second, right? Okay, some of these other guys might make representatives for other countries. For example, the guy on the end might make a good representative for the nation of China. Okay, and then you might find some Germans up here. And if you're representing the nation of Germany, it's good to be German. Okay, if you're representing the nation of India, you might want to be Indian. Okay, and so this man right here, the second one, his name is Elkanah Odembo. All right, Elkanah is actually a biblical name. You guys remember who Elkanah in the Bible was? Was Hannah's husband. Okay, so the prophet Samuel's father was named Elkanah, just as a side note there. So if you're an ambassador to a certain country, you have to look like that person, all right? And the point I'm trying to make, it's not to make you guys laugh, is that as ambassadors of Christ, do we look like Christ? Okay, so that's, if you go to the next slide, I think that's the question. This is the question I want you guys to think about. All right. To be an effective ambassador, you know, you have to represent the nation you come from, not the nation you're living in. Okay? You have to represent the nation you're coming from, not the nation you're living in. Okay? Just like, think about it. This man who represents Kenya isn't living in Kenya. He's not representing Kenya by living in Kenya. He's representing Kenya by living in the United States, all right? So even though we're ambassadors for Christ, we're ambassadors of a heavenly country, we're living in this world, okay? Hopefully that concept is clear to you guys. It's not too hard to grasp. And, you know, Abraham in the Bible was a good example of an ambassador for the Lord. You know, the book of Hebrews tells us that he was called by God to go to a foreign country. All right. He didn't start in the land of Canaan. That was where the Lord called him to go, and he went. All right. And what does Hebrews chapter 11 tell us about Abraham? It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise. Okay? He wasn't, you know, a native Canaanite. He was a foreigner there. He was an alien. It says he was dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. So it says Abraham was called. Similarly, you guys are called. Okay? And what was Abraham's response? We see that Abraham obeyed. Okay? He obeyed and he went out. And even though, you know, he lived in the land as an alien and as a foreigner, his job was to go there and represent the Lord. Okay? Now, when my wife Carrie and I went to visit Kenya, it was only for a couple of weeks. In fact, I was only there for 1 week, but it was very eye-opening for me to see how they were living. You know, I travel abroad for my work, but for me, it was very different. it was the first time I'd set foot on the African continent, and it was very interesting. I mean, most of it is very poor, right? So it's a very poverty-stricken country. And we were in Nairobi, which is one of the bigger cities in Africa. But still, the discrepancy between the wealthy and the very poor is a very stark contrast. Right? And it was very eye-opening. It was very different. The landscape was different. Obviously, the people and the faces were different. You know, we really stood out because, you know, we don't have dark skin, and they have very dark skin. And so we don't look like Kenyans, and we very much felt like we were in a foreign place. Right? Similarly, it's probably just as weird for a Kenyan to come to this country, all right, and see many of us. Right? For a Kenyan to come here, for this guy Elkanah Odembo to represent Kenya here, he probably finds this place to be a very foreign and strange place. Okay, but as ambassadors, we live in a place that is not our home. Okay, and we were very happy to come home after a couple of weeks. We felt homesick. Well, we were away from our kids, so we felt homesick in that regards. But it was very nice to come back and come back to the comforts of home. It's good to be back in the United States where we could speak the language and we could, you know, go back to our normal routine. In Kenya, they speak English, but they also speak French and their native dialects. And so I can imagine this ambassador to Kenya probably feels the same way when he goes back to Kenya. He probably feels like, I'm returning home, right? Just like you guys are familiar with Houston or Austin or wherever you're from. If you take a trip to a foreign country, you come back, you probably feel a sense of home and comfort. And yet, as an ambassador, his job is to not live in his own country. Okay? His job as an ambassador is to live in a foreign land and be a representative for his homeland. Okay? Hebrews chapter 13 tells us all these people in Hebrews, all right, this hall of fame of faith in Hebrews, all of these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Strangers and exiles. That's how these men and women in Hebrews 11 are described. Right? They represented the Lord here in the world. They were called by Him and they represented Him, but this was not their home. They knew that they lived somewhere else. Their home address, their citizenship was somewhere else, and it was in the heavenlies. And they were only here on earth for a moment, and they were foreigners and exiles. That's how they were described. You know, all of the great men and women mentioned here in Hebrews 11 were ambassadors for the Lord. You know, we represent the Lord here in this world, but we should never become comfortable in this world, because this isn't our home. Okay, young brothers and sisters, we should always think of ourselves as foreigners here in this world. Okay, and when we have this type of heavenly perspective, we're going to begin to view things differently. You know, the things in this world that entice us, the things that we find tempting or attractive, we now know we should have no part in that because we represent something far greater. Okay. It also might mean that people in the world will view us differently. Okay, so, you know, if we live for our heavenly kingdom, if we live as a representative of our heavenly king, you know, the world will realize that we don't belong. The world has a sense for that, okay? And so, my question to you guys is, how well do you fit in this world? Okay, are you so comfortable in this world that the world doesn't see any of Christ in you? Okay, or do you stand out in this world because you don't belong, because you're living for Christ and the world senses that? Okay, when others see how you behave, okay, when others see you at school, when your classmates, your peers, your teachers see you at school, do you have a kind of testimony because you don't cuss like your friends cuss, because you don't cheat like your friends may cheat, or you don't have some of the same bad habits as your friends? Okay, do they see that? Or are you so conformed to this world when you're in school that no one knows you're a Christian? Okay, who do you look like is my question, all right? Do you look like Christ or do you look like this world? Okay, that's the question, that's the challenge to you guys. Who do you look like? Because certainly, just as this man looked like he's Kenyan, we ought to look like we're Christian. Okay, we ought to look like Christ. That's what being Christian is. All right. So when my wife and I were walking around Nairobi, neither of us look African, and so it was very obvious that we were foreigners. It was very obvious that we were strangers. And similarly, does this world view you as a stranger? Okay? And when it does, perhaps it might even discriminate against you. And I mentioned yesterday how there's going to be a time in the very near future where Christians are the ones who are going to be discriminated against. All right? Even though this country was founded on the principles of the Bible, it's going to be a time coming up real soon, I think, in your generation, maybe even in my generation, where the word Christian is going to have a bad connotation to it. People are going to discriminate against you or persecute you if you're willing to live like a Christian, if you're willing to look like Christ. Okay, so that's a challenge to you guys this afternoon. Who do you look like? You know, as ambassadors of Christ, we should look like Christ. And remember, this world rejected Christ. Okay? Because it rejected Christ, and if you have anything to do with Christ, the world will reject you too. In fact, we should almost expect to be rejected, because we're not greater than our Lord. If our Lord was rejected, then we will similarly be rejected. But are we willing to bear that? You know, because of what he's done for us, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to represent the king, even if it costs us? Right? Even if it costs us our popularity. You know, people that represented the Lord throughout church history, you know, they gave up a lot more than their popularity in school or whatever. They gave up their lives to represent the Lord here on this earth. Okay? They were physically persecuted. You might be made fun of, might be rejected by your peers, whatever else. Some of these men and women throughout church history gave up their lives in order to represent the Lord here in this world. So that's an important thing we need to know, that as servants of God, we are ambassadors for God. We're not greater than the one who sent us. Okay, that's an important thing. So John chapter 13, verse 16 tells us, "Verily I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." The one who is sent, so the messenger, merely represents the sender, right? The ambassador represents his nation. So we don't speak of our own accord. We speak what the heavenly king tells us to speak. Okay, the ambassador of a country, so this man that I showed you earlier, is not greater than the president or king of that country, right? And they're a democracy, so they have a president. And this ambassador does not rank higher than the president of that country. He represents the president, though, here in the United States. And similarly, as ambassadors for the Lord, you know, we are not greater than our Lord. We represent the king, but we're not greater than the king, okay? So keep that in mind. As ambassadors, you represent the leader of the nation you're coming from. But the ambassador himself is not the leader, okay? So our Lord reminds us that the servant is not greater than his master. No, so again, how much do you fit in this world? Okay, if no one can recognize that you are a Christian, all right, if there's no evidence in your life at school that you're a Christian, then that's a really sad thing as a believer. Okay, as a believer, we should represent Christ. As a servant of the Lord, we should look like Christ. Okay, do you look like Christ is the question. Do we have what Paul writes in his letters? He writes the aroma of Christ. Do we not only look like Christ, but smell like Christ? Okay, does the fragrance of Christ, you know, come off of us? You know, when people see us, do they sense, wow, that's, I see Christ in him. I see our Lord Jesus in that person. Even in the way that person smiles or walks or speaks or thinks. The aroma of Christ is what Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians. All right? Hopefully when people see us, they see Christ. You know, Peter in his letters, in his epistles, when he writes the believers in his first letter, he calls them strangers and exiles. He calls his beloved brethren strangers and exiles. And he uses a very interesting phrase found in the beginning of 1 Peter. In some translations, he addresses this audience as the elect exiles, or the chosen aliens, right? And this was Peter's audience, and it was a very interesting phrase, this juxtaposition of the words elect and the word exile is kind of interesting, right? Well, one is kind of negative. Exile is thought of as kind of negative. And then the elect is something positive, right? And yet he calls these people the elect exiles. And I think that's exactly who God's people are. Okay, that's who God's people were from the beginning, and that's who we are today as God's people. We're the elect exiles, or we're aliens, but we're the chosen aliens, the chosen strangers. It's a very interesting wording. It always catches my attention when I read it. And if we read in the second chapter of Peter's book, he tells us how we are elect. Why are you and I elect? Okay, it says in 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." Okay, he tells us that we are a chosen people. All right. I think I've already reiterated that point a few times, so hopefully that's something that sticks with you guys. He also tells us, Paul tells us in Romans, that we are ones who were predestined by God. All right, we were predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. So again, like I've been stressing, who do we look like? Have we been conformed to the image of Christ? Do we look like Christ, or do we look like the world? When your classmates look at you, do you stand out in any way, or do you look exactly like everyone else in this world? Is there no evidence of Christ in you guys, or do you stand out for the Lord? Do you stand firm for the Lord, as your t-shirts are calling out? Are you standing firm for the Lord in your school, or in your workplace, for some of us older ones? So when we realize that we are God's elect, that we are his chosen people, then I think we have a different attitude. Okay, we don't belong to this world. We are exiles. Throughout the Gospel of John, chapters 14, 15, 16, 17, we're constantly reminded by the Lord of this theme, in the world, but not of the world. Okay, and we pray this for our daughters, because now it's, you know, we feel like it's a very critical time. And I'm sure some of your parents are praying for you guys, because it's a time where you can get swept away by the world, or you can choose to stand for the Lord. Okay, and we know that in our daughters. We can already see the world impacting them, especially in a place like New York City. All right, living in New York City, there are temptations left and right. You know, with the explosion of the internet, you guys know that, you know, something sinful or dirty is only one click away. All right? Are you willing to be in the world but not of the world? And that's what we pray for our kids all the time, that the Lord, you know, we can't be taken out of the world unless we actually physically die. We're going to be in this world. We're going to be immersed in it. But the Lord isn't trying to take us out of the world. He wants us to be a testimony in the world. Okay? And so, the Lord prays for us. The Lord prayed for His disciples in John chapter 17. We're not going to have time to read through it, but you guys should have a look at John chapter 17. It's very interesting because the Lord prays specific things for His disciples. Right? He prays that, "I've given them your word, and the world hates them because they are not of the world." Just, you guys are not of the world, so the world will hate you. Just like our Lord was not of the world. You know, I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Okay? The Lord prays for His disciples that the Heavenly Father would protect them from the evil one. That's what the Lord is, as High Priest today for us, He's praying for you and I, that the Lord protect us. Okay? That the Lord keep us from the evil one. Says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." So that's what it means that we are the elect exiles. All right, we're elect, we're chosen by God, we're His special people, but we're also exiles in this world. Okay, I'm just going to jump down towards the end because I think I want to give you guys some time to digest some of these things and to discuss them. So, young brothers and sisters, where is your home today? Okay, what is your address? Is it Houston? Is it Austin? Is my address New York City? Okay, or do we have a heavenly address and we're simply sojourners in Houston, in Austin, or New York City? Okay, where are our roots in this world? You know, are they planted so deep in this world that we can no longer uplift ourselves? You know, have we been so planted? And I think as you get older, you know, physical things can even become roots. You know, your career, your family, your home, your house. You know, where are our roots planted? Are they planted here in Houston and Austin such that if the Lord asked you to go someplace for Him, where His church has a need, are you so rooted here that you can't leave and go on His behalf? All right, or are roots planted in something heavenly? Okay, so recognize today that you're set apart for Him. Called to serve means you are an ambassador of the Lord. Okay, that's part of the aspect of being a servant of the Lord. And I think, you know, we're just to close, I'm going to give you two short examples. One was Moses, right? How does the writer of Hebrews describe Moses? He says, "By faith, Moses, when he had become great, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with God's people." Okay? Chose affliction with God's people rather than the temporary pleasure of sin. He had all the pleasures of Egypt. All right? He was powerful in Egypt. He was a prince in Egypt. But yet he chose to suffer with God's people. And think about Moses. And then also, remember Daniel and his friends. right? As young men in Babylon, they were given the riches of Babylon. They were given the good food of the king. You know, in New York City, a lot of the young brothers and sisters in our fellowship are college-age kids and young professionals, and they all are self-ascribed foodies. They love food, and they love the cool new restaurants or bars or whatever else. You guys are might be too young to be foodies, but Daniel and his friends in Babylon were given the best food, the choice food and wine from the king, right? And Babylon probably was more glamorous than New York City by their standards, okay? And yet, by faith, you know, they were willing to give that up, even when it meant their lives, even when they were tested by fire and by the lion's den, they were willing to give up those things, the worldly things, so that they could live for God, all right? They weren't taken out of Babylon. The Lord didn't deliver them out of Babylon. They stayed in Babylon, but they represented Him there. In the world, but not of the world, okay? That should be a phrase that you guys write down if you're taking notes. In the world, but not of the world. I think that's very key, all right? The Lord, in my life, has proven Himself to be faithful. You know, in my marriage, in my education, in my career, whenever I put the Lord first and His interest first, His blessings always come. All right? If you put the Lord's interest before your own, if you put the Lord first, He's going to bless you, even in your career, even in your education. All right? No matter what you want to be when you grow, quote-unquote, grow up, all right? The Lord will bless you in that if you put Him first. Seek first His kingdom, all right? Okay, I think we're a little bit over time. I wanted to give you guys a chance to get in small groups and discuss this, but let's close in a quick word of prayer. Dear Lord, we're so thankful that we can gather here quickly for this short time of workshop and discussion. Lord, I pray that as we break off into the small groups, that You'll continue to stimulate some of these thoughts, how we can be disciples for You, how we can be ambassadors for You, what it means to be an ambassador, and who we look like in this world. I pray, Lord, that You would conform us to the image of Christ. I pray that in this world we would look like Christ. Even if it costs us our popularity at school or whatever else, Lord, I pray that we'd be willing to do that for You because You have done so much for us. You have given Your all for us. And Lord, we just want to give You everything that we have, including our love, Lord. Lord, we want to love nothing in this world, and we want to live for You. We thank You, Lord, for this time of discussion and fellowship. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
Let's get into our small groups and take the time for discussion. Alright, you know what to do. I'm going to go to the next one.
Oh, just what you're doing.